Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Real, Relevant, and Raw. Relationship radio at its very best. Real, Relevant, and Raw broadcast at our new time every Thursday evening from 10 p.m. until 11 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. I am your co-host Michael Teague, along with my co-host
Sadie Sharp.
Sadie, we're here, we're back. We want to thank everyone who is listening right now live, as well as those who will be listening via the archive. We want to take a moment to invite you tonight to become a follower of the show. Please go to our show page, www.blogtalkradio.com/Real Relevant Raw. I'll give you that URL one more time, www.blogtalkradio.com/Real Relevant Raw. Look at the icon. Right below the icon for the show, you will see a follow button. Click on that button, and you will become a follower of the show. You will get all our show updates, notifications when the show is about to begin. You'll get it first. You'll get it best. And also, if you want to send us a message, right below the follow button is the message button, and you can send us a message. Maybe you don't want to call in, you're listening tonight, and you have a question or you have a comment. Listen, do us a favor. Send us a message. We'll get right back to you. We'll answer your questions. We'll take your comments. We'll hear your concerns, because we want to make this show the very best for you, our listening audience. Finally, let me give you our call-in number, our guest call-in number. Our call-in number is 646-716-7031. That's 646-716-7031. Why don't you call in tonight? Tell us who you are. Tell us where you're calling from. We want you to participate in the conversation tonight. And with that said, Sadie, tonight's topic is whatever happened to black love. Sadie, why is this an important topic for us to discuss tonight?
Because it involves us. Michael?
Yes, ma'am.
Are you a black man?
I'm a black man, last I checked. And you know what? Not only am I a black man, I'm on the dark side, Sadie, so I am unmistakably black.
Oh, Lord.
Undeniably black. I'm your chocolate thunder. I'm your Hershey's kiss.
Makes no mistakes about it, huh?
Make no mistake about it. If I'm in a lineup at the police station and somebody said they saw a black man do X, Y, and Z, even if I didn't do it and I was the only one online, they would have to identify me. So, yes, Sadie, I'm a black man.
Michael.
Yes.
Is it a myth that most black, or is it true that most black men don't want to get married?
Is it a myth? I'll put it to you like this, Sadie. I think that as black men, we want to make sure, if we have decided to get married, that we find the right one. I think we're afraid. We're afraid that we may not find Ms. Right. And so I think to the extent to which there is a fear, it is based in that. But I can't say unreservedly that no black man wants to get married.
Michael, in a black man's mind, what is Mrs. Right? Who is Mrs. Right?
Well, I think, Sadie, that answer has to depend upon the black man. That said, let me lay out...
Generalize.
I'm going to generalize. Let me lay out for our listening audience, so I think most black men are looking for. I think we are looking for respect. We are looking for support. We are looking for partnership. If we decide to have children, we want someone that we can raise our children with, who can help us to parent. Most black men, unless you are on the upper echelon of the socioeconomic status, we want somebody working. You understand what I'm saying? I'm going to make it real simple, real plain. We want somebody working. And then we want someone who is a phenomenal and exquisite lover, because most black men that I know have been active from their teenage years and on and beyond. So we need that good love. We need the good. We need that good kush.
Okay. All right. So if you had to give the black women listening advice, on what a black man needs to settle down, what would that be in general, Michael?
In order to settle down.
Generalization.
I think first and foremost, before I even get to the list, because I've kind of laid out some things that I think are applicable.
The handy-dandy list.
See, Sadie and ladies who are listening tonight, you got to understand something, that we have to be ready to settle down. You cannot force us into settling down. You cannot persuade us into settling down. You cannot have enough babies to get us to settle down. We have to reach a point in our lives that we say, you know what, I'm tired of dating multiple women. I'm tired of sleeping with multiple women. And this may sound cliche, but I've gotten that out of my system. And I've reached the point in my life where I'm secure in myself. I'm secure with my identity. I'm stable in my career. My financial situation is good. Okay, based upon that foundation, now I can think about getting married and finding this right.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
That makes a lot of sense.
Exactly.
You know, it's so funny because, Michael, in my book that I'm actually going to write, I tell women that basically men have to be the right temperature. If you put a bird in the oven and you cook it at 250 and you take it out in 4 hours, it's not going to be ready. But
exactly.
If you cook the bird at the right exact temperature and you take it out when it's ready, then the bird is ready to be a meal. You cannot make a family with a man that's not cooked at the right temperature. He has to be in the oven for a while and go through a process, and the only time he's going to be ready is when he's ready. No matter how good of a woman you are, how many great things you do, the little tricks you can do in the bed, any of that stuff is not going to make a man be ready.
Right. So, you know, Sadie, I think that women need to hear that. And I think as men, what we need to be honest about where we are. See, because sometimes we will deceive a woman into thinking that we're ready for what we're not ready for.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
In order to get what we can get. And so, brothers, listen, if you're not at the right temperature, well, you need to let a lady know that. And you say, nevertheless, maybe we can be friends. Maybe we could be bed buddies. We can be whatever. But you got to let them know, I'm just not ready. But see, and it's all about, and this kind of ties in, Sadie, to our topic tonight. You know, whatever happened to black love, I think to the extent to which black love has faded, has diminished, or in certain circles is non-existent, it's because black love has been replaced by black game.
The preacher in you is coming out tonight. Can I get an amen?
Listen, before you get an amen, pass the plate, says the elevator.
Hey, now you acting just like a preacher.
it's the truth, you know, and we both talked through the show, and that wasn't in the notes that I had written down. I mean, and I think it's true. Black love has been replaced in many respects by black game. All right.
Well, let me tell you what I can share as a black woman who was basically black just as the color of my skin, but I grew up in a white neighborhood around white girls, and the way I dealt with men was totally different than the average black woman.
Mm.
And I hate to say it, but I think that has something to do with why I got married at 18. I think that has something to do with why I was proposed to more than once.
Mm-hmm.
Because what I seen different that black women used to clown me about, you know, was that if I liked a guy, I had no problem showing it. Ooh, what are you doing? You can't do that. This is what black women would say to me. And I'm like, well, why? How else am I supposed to show him I like him?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because
right.
That's what we did. That's what all the white girls that I grew up around, that's what we did. If we liked a guy, we showed him. There was no problem in acting like you like a guy. But when I would go visit family members who lived in more urban towns on the weekends, that was a no-no.
So,
okay to be all about your boyfriend. I mean, it was nothing in high school for, you know, women of non-color, white girls, which mostly is what I grew up around, to be like, oh, well, I'm hanging out with my dude tonight. And everyone knew that if she was hanging out with her dude, she'll catch up with you later. I mean, you try to have your friends and everything like that, but it wasn't like But what I noticed with black women, it was like, oh, she get funny when she get with her man. It's like, it's and the same thing with black men. I noticed that it seems like the social pressure was always to act like you don't care.
Hmm.
And for an African-American man to be all over a woman and want to spend time with a woman, his nose was wide open. He was a puss. He was a clown. The same pressure.
So what I hear you saying, Sadie, is that in our communities, the seeds of the undermining of black love are sown in our community.
I definitely noticed it, Michael. I didn't date a black guy until I was like 18. All the first guys I ever went out with were white guys.
Wow.
And I gotta tell you, it was completely different. It was like, it was like a whole, like I went to another planet.
What was different about it? What was different about it? And contrast that to what you are seeing today. What was different about dating? And, you know, I'll just use the language, and I don't want to say white boy, because, you know, we have Caucasian listeners. So let me give even our Caucasian family ultimate respect. What was it like dating a Caucasian male?
A Caucasian male, I guess, would say was the same as the Caucasian females. They didn't hold back. They felt something or they thought something, they said it. And if they thought you looked nice, they said it. The goal of spending time with you was more so to impress you.
Mm.
And, I mean, they walked in, I would say they kind of more so walked on a date as a realizing that it was a direct representation of themselves. So you want to do your best. But I said it again and I'll say it again. I noticed with not just African-American women, African-American men as well, because I've been on more dates with African-American men than I have women.
We know this, Miss Sadie Shaw. We know that you are heterosexual from your nose to your toes. We know this.
So, I mean, it's like, it's always a, they walk in holding back. They walk in the door holding back. You can feel it because I'm a free spirit. So when you're being free, you can tell when someone's not. Like they say, eagles fly with eagles. I'm not referencing myself as the eagle and the people I was on a date with is not. But you know what how the saying is, when you fly with eagles and you start flying with other birds, when you go back to fly with the eagles, you don't fly as high. Well, when you're a free spirit like me, you pick up on inhibitions, those who are more inhibited.
See, so Sadie, listen, and typically we wait to the end of the show to give our points and our insights about the topic. Let me pause and just suggest this, because this is what I hear you saying. If we're going to reclaim black love in our communities, then it's all about being authentic and being and not holding back how we feel and how we behave, that we have to explode those ingrained social conventions, that if I like you, I can tell you. If I think you look nice, I can say I think you look nice.
And you know what else, Michael? What I notice in black women, like I said, because the culture that I deal with now and the culture I grew up in is like taking me from a river to the ocean. They're night and day.
Hmm.
And what I notice with a lot of black women is they don't necessarily deal with the reality of relationships. They deal with the stories of relationships, meaning that they learn about relationships from a freaking script, from television, that when something real happens that's out of the television script, they panic.
You know, Miss Sadie Shaw, you're about to get in trouble.
I don't get in trouble.
I stay in trouble. Right, no, I get it. So you don't get out of trouble. I don't get in trouble.
My God, I stay in trouble. My life is trouble. The game trouble, hit the thing, turn the number, see how many troubles you're going to get a day. That's my life.
Well, I tell you what, this is what I want to do. I want you to hold that thought, because when we come back from our musical break, I want you to delve into that. And then after that, I want to talk a little bit more about this whole notion of black game. So, listen, everybody, you know, Bruno Mars rocked the Super Bowl at Seattle slaughtered slaughtered the Denver Broncos. So listen, we're going to celebrating Bruno Mars' success at the Super Bowl halftime show. We're going to play Locked Out of Heaven. Everybody, you're listening to Real, Relevant, and Raw on Blog Talk Radio. To Real, Relevant, and Raw on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your co-host, Michael Teague, along with my co-host,
Sadie Sharp.
And Sadie, before our musical break, you said something that is going to keep you in trouble at the same time. Sadie, you have to say it again, and you have to, as I learned some years ago in graduate school, you got to unpack that a bit. You said that black women.
I'm going to get to black men, too.
I guess you was.
It's a black thing.
It's a black thing. You said that black women operate in their relationships not based upon reality, but based upon a story. Wait a minute. You get into trouble. Tell us what you're thinking about when you say that.
Basically what I'm saying is, not all black women, but if you have 10 in a room, at least seven, okay, have this precognition in their head, that all men are designed to fuck up. I don't know any other way to say it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They're designed to screw up, and they wait for it. And when it happens, they handle it the way they expect it to end, more so, as opposed to the way they expect to get to the next level of the relationship or to get the results they want.
So it's almost like black women have, based upon the story that they internalize and live out, that they almost have an eject button, that when the black man messes up, that it's, I told you so, I knew it would happen, so now I can eject him or reject him or move on. Is that the case? Or if I keep him, I can then just browbeat him and abuse him and remind him for the next 10 years about how he messed up. Is that what you're saying?
In so many words, yes. But also, a good relationship to 7 out of 10 black women is what they see on television. Because black love, I mean, if we just go back to slavery time, Willie Lynch wrote the letter in How to Come Between a Black Woman and a Black Man. So we've been separated for decades. This is nothing new. It's just like a picture that someone started drawing 100 years ago, and you can finally tell what it is now. You know what
Sadie,
I mean?
That's amazing, Sadie. You know what? I want you to hold that thought because we have someone on the line. Let me take our call, and then we're going to get back to this conversation after we hold the conversation with the caller. Let me bring this caller on. Caller, good evening. You are live on Real Relevant and Raw. Thank you for calling in. If you don't mind, tell us who you are and where you are calling from.
Hello, my name is Gracie, and I'm
Gracie,
calling
how
from
are
Somerset.
You?
I'm doing just fine. And yourself?
I'm doing well. Gracie, why don't you say hello to Sadie?
Oh,
hello,
hi,
Gracie.
Sadie. How are you?
I'm okay, good, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you for calling in.
Yes.
Gracie. Yes, I was going to say, Gracie, what is your question or your comment? We are looking forward to hearing from you tonight.
Well, the subject is about black love.
Yes, it is.
Well, you know, it's kind of crazy, you know, with all this new technology, you know, and, you know, it's like online. It's not like how it used to be back in the day, you know, when a man courted a woman, you know, opened the door for her, and, you know, it's none of that anymore, and it's really, really so sad.
Hmm.
You still?
So, Grace, are you
yes,
saying that we have lost our traditional values as we have surrendered to Facebook and Twitter and Match.com and BlackPlanet.com and all these other social media sites? Are you saying that our traditional values have eroded?
Yes, because back in the day, a relationship lasts much longer, and there wasn't that many divorces and stuff it is nowadays, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, I think the world went crazy.
You think the world has gone crazy? So Gracie, let me
pretty
ask
much.
You, in your opinion, how do we reclaim black love? Because tonight's topic is whatever happened to black love. And so what you're suggesting by what you're saying is that we are actually losing black love. And if that's the case, how do we, in your mind, reclaim black love?
Well, as personally speaking, I think it goes back to the basics of meeting someone, you know, talking, communicating, you know, being friends first, you know, because all of that, you know, all of which counts, you know, I
mm-hmm.
think like nowadays people are just jumping in. You know, that booty call, that, you know, it's like, you know, go back to courting. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just have fun, you know? You know, and that's what's missing. You know, enjoying one another's company. You know, it's like I said, the world is just going too fast. Slow down a bit. You know, that way you can enjoy one another's company. You know, I mean, like I said, it's just sad, you know. And
so,
but I'm praying that it gets better.
And you know, Gracie, I think your insights can help it to get better, because what you're saying is, let's go back to the basics. Let's go back to courting. Let's go back to taking it slowly. Let's go back enjoying each other's company. Let's go back to having fun. You know, you didn't say this, but I think you were insinuating this as suggestions. We got booty, too much booty on the brain, right?
Yes, indeed.
We got too much booty on the brain, right? So we need to
take
the booty off the brain for a while and get to know each other. So Gracie, we appreciate what you're sharing. Sadie, did you want to jump in and ask Gracie anything?
Gracie, what would you say that the black women needs to create a self-awareness about? I say self-awareness because I don't believe people change. I don't expect people to change, but I believe if they create a self-awareness, what kind of self-awareness can the black woman create to help contribute to her and the black man becoming closer?
Well, if I have to put my tag on it, it would be for a woman to be herself, you know, without all the extensions, the nails, you know. I mean, you know, as far as I'm concerned, we are born beautiful, you know what I'm saying? And there's nothing like being natural. But you have so much going on nowadays, you know, and in a way, everybody looks the same.
They do. They really do.
It's just too much going on. It is. You know, it is. I like the natural, you know, the beauty of black naturalism, you know.
I think it's
very important, you know. But my daughter has it going on.
You know, Gracie, it's interesting.
Yeah.
You know, perhaps that is why, and it's really a global movement, the natural hair movement. It is a global movement of women of color who say, you know what, I don't need to be unbeweavable.
Thank you.
I don't need all the extensions. I don't need all the artificiality, if that is a word, in my hair. I'm gonna go natural. So I think that you've tapped into something. You see what I'm saying? Because as a man, I want to see the authentic woman. Whatever she looks like, whoever she is, I don't want to have to wade through a whole lot of artificial production, I'll put it to you like that, in order to
exactly
see the real woman. You understand what I'm saying? And I mean, listen, a little makeup, if a woman needs that, hey, you know, why not? But again, I think what you're saying is when everything is artificial, there's something wrong with that.
And what about the black man, Gracie? What do you think the black man can do? What kind of self-awareness can he create? And I think you touched on it a little bit when you talked about courtship. But what kind of self-awareness can he create so that he and the black woman can become closer again?
Well, first of all, men don't love like women, you know. And then I was thinking a little earlier, you know, you have like over 2 million plus men incarcerated. So that's very thin as far as, you know, a man for a woman out here, you know. And I guess they know that they can play the game. That's why they have so many girlfriends and they're married and, you know, have women on the side. Because, like I said, there's a shortage, you know, of men. There are more women on earth than there are as far as men.
Yeah, Gracie, it's interesting. I was taught several years ago, and it's interesting, and we can use any information for good or for bad, let's say. And I was taught that there were 10 women for every one man per race.
Hallelujah.
Listen to this. Playerology 101, right? 10 women.
Yeah.
To every one man per race. So that's 10 white women, 10 black women, 10 Asian women, 10 Hispanic women, am I forgetting 10 Indian women, right? So that's what, 40, 50 to 1. And unless, I think unless a man really has a moral and spiritual center, whatever that consists of, I know men who would exploit that. You understand?
Of course.
That's heaven on earth for some men. Now,
you know what I don't understand about that, though, and I'm not trying to be funny.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm just being straight up honest. The guys I know versus the girls, the single guys I know versus the single girls I know, the girls have more guys than the guys have girls.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
That's news.
That happens. Yeah.
No, like the girls, a girl could have like three or four dudes calling her, you know, like, yeah, I want to go out with you. I mean, they could be lying that they want to get in a relationship with her, but this is what they're saying. And the guys, the single, you know, because I have mostly guy friends. I don't really have too many female friends. And the guys, you know, they're like trying to get somebody to come over, trying to get somebody to go out. You know, like guys have, to me, my experience, what I see, a harder time. Even the players, it's more effort on a dude's end.
That's
interesting. Yeah, it's a free for all. It's a free for all now.
Like, he got to take, like, I don't know. You know, I think sometimes it depends on your circle, but, like, in my circle, like in the Sadie Sharp circle, I don't know too many guys that will call up a girl and just be like, can I come over? Now, I hear that happens, but most of the guys are at least going to ask you to go out to a movie or something.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. See, we understand that we're the hunters. And I'm not saying we're the only hunters because, Sadie, you know, and Gracie, Sadie and I joke, if you listen to the show before, Sadie and I joke, I am a women's liberationist. And Sadie is the male chauvinist, okay? So and you know what? I embrace my feminist side, girl. I embrace my feminist side. Oh, my God. But, yeah, that's what she says. And so I say this, we as men are hunters. You see what I'm saying? We're predators, and we know that we've got to work in order to take our prey. Whatever that looks like, and we can have a whole conversation about what that looks like. See, we understand as men that we got to work for what we get.
And the women that I know that are what's the word? Hoes?
Mm-hmm.
Have many more men than the men I know that are hoes.
And you know,
it's interesting,
Gracie, I'll show it to
and
you.
And I'm also referencing clients. I'm not just referencing people I know. I'm referencing, like, I can think of one female client right now that had one guy buy her a car a few weeks ago, lives in another guy's house, and gets money from another guy whenever she wants to.
Well, you know, it's interesting because it really echoes. It, you know, Grace, it's interesting. I don't know if you listened last week, but it echoes the topic of our last show, which was variety is the spice of life. Why should a woman have this one? And my whole contention with that show was that if men can have more than one woman, then a woman can have more than one man. And I
agree with that, but what I'm really saying at this is the only time I notice women get caught in this situation is when they're caught on one guy. Do you see what I'm saying? When that woman gets caught up with that one guy, it's not that she can't get other guys, it's she's caught up with that one guy.
Yeah,
and
she makes a choice.
Men have a tendency not to do that as much as a woman does. A guy doesn't get caught up on that one girl unless he's really, really ready to settle down. A woman will get caught up with a guy who's not ready to settle down and won't get into anyone else. There's nothing some guys can even say to her, and that's when she doesn't have all those opportunities we're talking about.
I think
the difference here is that guys are more apt to not get caught up.
Of course, because I think we're conditioned. See, our society conditions us to be polygamous, and it conditions women to be monogamous. And say, you know, it hops upon the topic of our last show. So I think, on the other hand, there are women who are and some men would say becoming more masculine. I won't necessarily say that. I'll just say becoming, they're understanding the game, and they, I'm going to borrow the words of a movie that came out, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago, Vivica Fox and Morris Chestnut, I think it was them, two can play at that game. And so I think there are women who are playing that game. And now, what does it say, to kind of bring it back to our topic, what does it say about black love, that there are different configurations of relationships today? And Gracie, you are a traditionalist, and there's nothing wrong with that, you see. On the other
Thank
hand,
you.
We have, and you're welcome, and I say that with all respect and as a compliment. You know, on the other hand, there are same-sex relationships. There are polygamous, there are open relationships. There are blended relationships. And so what we want to arrive at tonight in this conversation is, whatever the configuration of your relationship is, how do we reclaim or maintain black love? So with that said, Gracie, was there something else you wanted to share with our listening audience tonight?
Yes, I just want to, you know, end it in saying that chivalry is never dead. You know,
That's
I have
right.
high hope.
I like
and
that.
God bless.
I agree with you.
I like that.
Thank you so much, and I appreciate, you know. God bless.
Gracie.
Bye-bye.
God bless, Gracie. Thank you for calling in tonight. Take care now. Wow, Sadie, what an interesting conversation, right? We just took a little time. We just we blended, we built with Gracie, and we appreciate the fact that you called in. So, Sadie, why don't we do this? Why don't we go to a song? And I think it's appropriate for tonight. It's by Earth, Wind, and Fire, After the Love is Gone. And when we come back, we can talk about what do you do after the love is gone. Listening audience, you are listening to Real, Relevant, and Raw with your co-host, Michael Teague, along with my co-host,
Sadie Sharp.
And before we go to our musical break, we want to invite you to call in 646-716-7031. That's 646-716-7031. And we want to invite you tonight to become a follower of the show. Go to our show page, www.blogtalkradio.com/realrelevantraw. Click on the follow button below the icon, and you will become a follower of the show. We will be right back with more Real, Relevant, and Raw.
Happy, sad. Something happened along the way. Yesterday was all we had.
And that was Earth, Wind, and Fire, After the Love is Gone. You are listening to Real, Relevant, and Raw on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your co-host, Michael Teague, along with my co-host,
Sadie Sharp.
And I hope the caller who is holding on can hear me. Caller, thank you. You called in during our musical break, so I couldn't click on, but I'm going to click on right now, and we look forward to speaking to you. Caller, thank you for holding on. You are live on Real, Relevant, and Raw. Tell us who you are and where you're calling from.
Hi, my name is Alicia, and I'm calling from Marietta, Georgia.
Alicia, how are you doing? And welcome to Real, Relevant, and Raw. Please say hello, pardon me, to my co-host, Sadie Sharp.
Hi, how are you, Sadie?
Hello, how are you, Alicia?
I'm good.
Go ahead, Michael. The topic of tonight's show is Whatever Happened to Black Love. Would you like to comment on that, or would you like to comment on something you specifically heard us say during the show?
Actually, I haven't heard anything. I would like to hear your perspective on it, and then I would like to comment on it. Actually, I would like to hear Michael's.
All right. Well, I had a lot that I could say, and I have a lot that I've said. All right, let me try to summarize it. I think that there's different configurations of relationships today. And I said this when I was talking to Gracie. You have opposite-sex relationships, same-sex relationships. You have open relationships, monogamous relationships. You have blended relationships. And I think that whatever the configuration of one's relationship is, that we can love each other if we focus on a few things. Number one, acceptance. I think ultimately I've got to accept the person I love unconditionally, and also I've got to be committed to their highest good. I think more than anything else, the key word is the C word. I think no relationship, regardless of what it looks like, can last if there's no commitment. I think it's about support. I think it's about trust. I think it's about partnership. I think it's about respect, Alicia. And finally, and this is something that I've learned, I think the most successful relationships are those in which both parties or whatever parties are involved commit themselves to personal growth. So that's my take on what black love should look like, whatever the configuration of the relationship is.
Okay, I understand. My question to you is, how does it get to a point where it reaches, you know, you have to go through something in order to get to that commitment. You understand?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And my outlook on, you know, black relationships, also love, is that the word love is used, I'm not going to say always too loosely. I just would say that some people have different perspectives on what love is. And I think that that's a problem, you know, somewhat of the problem with black relationships.
I agree with you.
I agree.
Love,
as you just stated, love is respect. Love is kind. And it's difficult because you have these men today who, when they start to fall in love with you, as like you said, in trust, and it's really black love, and it's sad to say it, but when a black man, some of them, not all of them, starts to fall in love, it seems like it more so scares him than anything. And, you know, I don't understand that. I don't understand that part of the black man where, you know, we would think that, you know, men to me are supposed to be strength. And this is my perspective of it. It's just that I'm seeing more weakness than strength in certain men these days, especially when it comes to loving someone. You know, if you have a black sister who's about something and, you know, she's independent, she works, she makes, you know, decent money, and she's driving around in a nice car and has her own, it more so makes a black man scared to date someone like that. And it's just weird to me. It's weird to me. And that's why, to me, we have so many problems with black love. These black men, to me, need to step up to the plate, you know, stop being scared or, you know, saying that they're scared. Or, you know what, I'm not even going to say saying that they're scared. A lot of them are. And why are you intimidated by a beautiful woman?
Because, Alicia, you know.
I think I can answer that question, Michael, but you take a shot first. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm going to, Alicia, listen, I so appreciate what you're sharing. And we definitely invite you to call in again. And I'm only saying that because I think that you have a lot of insight. See, Alicia, a woman like you've just described is a woman that I would pursue. Because.
Thank you.
I have. You know what, Alicia, I'm going to tell you, because I happen to be a black man who is secure in
far
who
from
he
scared.
Is. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not scared. Yeah, I ain't scared. You know, I mean, to me, that's a good catch. All of the things being considered, that's the woman who I could partner with, because I realize that as I'm bringing something to the table, she is bringing something to the table. And see,
exactly.
I don't wear my, you understand what I'm saying? And,
mm-hmm.
and I don't wear my ego in such a way that I feel like I have to control the black woman. I want to partner with the black woman. But then,
amen, Michael. I love you for that. Go ahead. Speak, but make sure. Now, you speak, and you make sure you keep your word to what you speak, though, because a lot of them can speak it, but you just got to make sure you keep your word.
Most definitely. I think that a man who is confident in who he is, in his purpose, in his vision, in what he has accomplished and what he's yet to accomplish, is not intimidated, but he's actually attracted to the woman who's working, who has a home, let's say, who drives a decent car, who brings something to the table. On the other hand, a man who's not mature, a man who's not secure in himself, yes, would be intimidated by that. Because, see, part of the mentality of a man, whether black or not, is
mm-hmm.
to lead the woman. And you know, you can't expect the woman who works in corporate America, for example, who's a senior executive, who manages money, manages people, to come home and say, yes, sir, no, sir. It's got to be a compromise. And some men don't have the intellectual or psychological strength to be able to partner with the woman. So either we want to rule a woman or
do you think that is because a lack of fathers being in their lives?
I think that's a contributing factor. I think more so a man has to invest in his own development. And by
mm-hmm.
no means am I perfect, but I've spent the better part of my adult life investing in my own development, and I still am trying to develop. So a strong black woman does not intimidate me. She turns
me
on.
And see, that's what I was going to say, Michael. That's the difference.
But you know what?
Excuse me,
Ms. Sharp, I'm sorry. When the chase is on, it's all good. They all speak, you know, a lot of them speak just as well as you're speaking right now. You know, I'm going to tell you about myself. I'm divorced 3 years. I'm a nurse. I drive a Benz. I have my own, you know. And when I meet people, you know, they're confident, you know, during the chase. But then, you know, once they get to know you, and not even that, I think once those feelings start to occur, is hold up. You know, to me, it's like a lot of black men, and I'm not just saying in my case, a lot of men, when they start to get those feelings, it's like, hold up, I'm not supposed to feel this way, or I don't want to feel this way. Why is that? Who doesn't want love? And again, you know, I've heard them say, well, we don't want to be hurt. I know one
it's
thing.
Not
when
right.
a man,
it's not the love they're running from.
But the hurt. But they haven't experienced it yet. So why
it's not
run
the love
before
or the, it's not the love or the hurt that they're necessarily running from. It's the challenge of, can I keep this woman?
But like you said, when you present yourself as being confident, you know, and you're secure, why don't you think you would be able to keep this woman? Tell me that, because I'm going to tell you this. When a man, when you, as I'm going to tell you how I am. I'm a woman, and I'm never intimidated. You know, I was with my ex for 10 years, and I know what I did. You know, I know what I had to do. So if he went out there and dealt with something else, you know, I never looked through his phone. I never looked through things because I was secure with who I was, you know, at all times. But you get these men, okay, Ms. Sharp, so why would they step back from, as you say, it's the fear of being able to keep that woman. If you're secure and you know you're doing everything that you're supposed to do for your woman, then you should look at it like this. I'm a good man, and if she go out there and mess up, then I'm going to walk away with my head up high.
That's what a confident person does. But, I mean, you got to realize that the average black man, the only thing he has to pride himself in is his woman, most of them. So it's
mm-hmm.
like, if that's all you have to pride yourself in and you lose that, what do you have, what is your ego riding on?
Sadie, let me just jump in, too. Let me provide, Alicia, an alternate view. And I agree with Sadie. I agree 100%. See, and this is something that I've wrestled with. And Sadie, you know, we probably need to do a part two of this in the future because there's so much we didn't cover.
Yeah,
let's do part two.
Part three.
I love it.
And so,
Alicia, let me share an alternate view. And one of the things that Sadie and I love about doing the show is that we can give a man's and a woman's perspective. See, once
mm-hmm.
a man really feels himself connecting to a woman like yourself, there's this peace in the back of his mind. If I commit to Alicia, that means I'm relinquishing the possibility of connecting with Sally, Kim, Brittany, Barbara, and Sue. See, because we know that there's still if we can get a Alicia, then how many others can we get? So there's that ambivalence about being monogamous. You know what I'm saying? And maybe
mm-hmm.
that's part of what the men that you've been dating or meeting, maybe that's what they're wrestling with, but they don't want to tell you that. See?
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to tell you that. So it's a challenge, but I think it's a challenge that can be met to find a man who is confident and
mm-hmm.
who is looking for monogamy. And this is what I recommend, and I agree with Steve Harvey in this. And our show simply is another type of conversation about relationships. I think, Alicia, women have the vested interest to set the tone at the outset. See, if you're sitting down with a man over coffee, over dinner, what have you, over drinks, you say, look, you know, Mike, I'm looking for a monogamous relationship. I'm not going to
uh-huh.
rush into that. I'm not going to rush you into that. But know that that's the end goal for me. And it may not necessarily, Mike, lead to marriage, but I'm looking for monogamy. Watch this. Is that what you are looking for? If he hesitates, if his body shifts, if he looks down, then he ain't ready. See, he's not ready. So that
well,
may
you
be
know what?
An indication
I'm...
that the date should end. Go ahead.
Okay, I understand what you're saying, but I've met a man, and actually we sat down over dinner, our first date,
okay.
and he told me that he was looking for that. He wants monogamy. I don't want to sleep around. I'm not. Basically, I moved out here a couple months ago. Are you planning on leaving and going back? He's not into shacking. You know,
mm-hmm.
he wants basically the wife. Material. Are you interested in being married again and the whole nine? But, you know, once them feelings get involved, it's like, hold up. Now, you say it's if I can have an Alicia, maybe I can have another Alicia. I don't think it, and to me, it's more so of the women that a lot of these men deal with. You got a lot of women who settle for less and allow these men to walk over them. And then you get a confident woman who's beautiful, and these men are afraid of her because they feel like, why does she want me?
Well, Alicia, let me say this, and we're going to need to end the call because we have about 3 minutes left in the show. See, let me just give you one piece of advice. With that gentleman, once you saw his behavior changing, if you did not, then that's the opportunity to gain clarification. You know, Mike, listen, I'm noticing that you're not calling as much. I noticed that you're not as romantic. I noticed that you're changing your behavior. What's going on? See what I'm saying? And once, if he's open to communicate about it, then maybe you can work through it. But if not, it may be an indication that particular relationship needs to end.
Well,
Alicia, listen.
Okay. I got you. Thank you.
Alicia, let me do this. Let me invite you to call me next week, all right? And we can still continue the conversation. So, Alicia, thank you so very much for calling in tonight, and we appreciate you, and please call me next week.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Have a good night.
Thank you, Alicia.
Bye-bye.
Wow.
So we have 3 minutes left.
We have 2 minutes, 23 seconds left. We'll
save come on, round.
Listen,
3 minutes.
Now we got it. We you know what we need to do a part two.
We need to do a part two.
And we need to talk as to whether or not we need to do it next week or in the future. But we have nowhere near exhausted this topic. But Sadie, I kind of dominated the last few minutes. So listen, with the 2 minutes we have left, why don't you wrap up the show in a way that only you can?
Black women, so many people who are not minorities, I've heard them say, sure, she did that. I remember my mom did that. I remember my dad did that. I remember my Uncle Sally did that to my uncle. I think that every African-American woman out there who wants to see herself as married needs to find a woman over the age of 55 who's married and has been married for 15 years or more and ask her to be your mentor and help you. And every African-American out there who sees himself as one day being a husband and a good man to an African-American woman needs to do the same thing, find himself a man over the age of 55 who's been married for 10 to 15 years and ask him to advise you. That's the best way to get out of this. Your boys who don't want to see you single and in and out of relationships be telling you, yo, the hell with her, man. You getting caught up? The heck with him and her.
Sadie, I like that. And you know what, Sadie, we probably need to continue this conversation next week and maybe have the topic, whatever happened to Black Love, Part 2, Reclaiming Black Love. And so because we have people like Alicia who probably wants to call in. Alicia, listen, I want you to call in next week. We want to continue this conversation. Gracie, we want you to call in next week to continue the conversation. Listen, we got to wrap up, everybody. You've been listening to Real, Relevant, and Raw on Blog Talk Radio. Tonight's topic was Whatever Happened to Black Love. I'm your co-host, Michael Teague, and all my co-hosts,
Sadie Shaw.
And we broadcast every Thursday evening from 10 p.m. until 11 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. Tune in next week for the very best in relationship radio. Everybody, we love you. Have a good night. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.